Hey everyone, John Wertheim here. It is this week's Sports Illustrated Tennis Podcast. It is day 11 at the Australian Open. It is Thursday, and today we sat down with Goran Ivanišević for a fun talk. Goran was just inducted into the Hall of Fame along with Conchita Martinez. Both of them also are coaching players that, as we record this, are still in the draw. Djokovic, who is working with Goran, in part plays Roger Federer tonight, their 50th career meeting. And Conchita Martinez, of course, is coaching Garbiñe Muguruza, who is in the semifinals and having a nice resurgence. But this is a great talk with Goran, who always was one of the more colorful quotes in tennis. Candid, doesn't quite paint the dimensions of how he approaches everything, from his tennis to his interviews, one of the reasons he is so well-liked. So let's get right to it. Here's a fun conversation with Goran Ivanišević. First, Goran, congratulations.
Thank you.
2020 Hall of Famer. How did they let you know this? How do they inform you that you've been inducted?
Todd Martin just called me and told me the news. First time he didn't tell me the nicest news. I mean, you can be only twice, I think, nominated. So that was my last chance. He called me and I was, you know, you are so happy. This is the news that you want to share with everybody, but you're not allowed.
You're not allowed to, it's like going on a game show or something.
Yeah,
you can't tell anyone.
He told me, man, keep it quiet till you come to Australia. But I kept quiet for a couple of days. Then I said to my wife, and then before I came to Australia, maybe at the preseason, I said to the team, I said to Novak.
You told Novak.
Yeah, yeah. Because I wanted him to knew from me, not from
somebody
else. And
He kept it a secret.
He kept it a secret. All the procedure end up great here. The news came out. I received at least 200 text messages.
That's great.
And
is it a big deal? I mean, American athletes, very big deal. If you're a football player, basketball player, baseball player, it's all about the Hall of Fame. Was this something you thought about?
I never thought about to be. I mean, I thought about to become the best I can in tennis. And but then after I finished my career, you know, when I saw these people getting elected, and then I starting to wonder, okay, should I going to be elected one day? And then a year passes, nothing happening. I didn't know how is that going, how many years has to pass before you... And then I was elected 1 year, actually 2 years ago. Didn't make it, and then now...
Now you're in.
I'm in.
You want to give us a preview of your speech?
No, because
you thought about
I thought about this speech. I have 5 to 7 minutes. This speech is going to change for sure in the next 5 months, and definitely it's going to change when I come on the stage.
that would be true. That would be on brand, we say. That would be true to your character.
Definitely it's going to change. I'm going to add up something. I'm going to miss something, but I'm not going to forget the people who are important to for me, who helped me to come even there and to achieve everything.
You look up Goran Ivanišević on the internet and you see two things. You see wild and crazy guy, and you see obviously the Wimbledon title. Do you ever think that a couple of inches in one match on one day is what is really a big definition in your life, in your career?
Well, it looks like. Unfortunately, sport is pretty cruel. Sport is nice, but in the other sense, it's cruel that, and I'm a perfect example, nobody cares if you're second. And 94, 98, but right. Who cares? And I would not be sitting here with you now, we're not giving this interview, I would not be in the Hall of Fame if I would not win that Monday final. So yeah. It's very, very clear, very simple. One match, one thing, one tournament can change your life. if I could do better in my career, yes, could be worse.
You're in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, but this is a war. This is, you know, I can do whatever. They were telling me I was like this, I was like that. But in the end, I think, and my fans, this is what I like. Fans recognize I won in the votes of fans, which is very...
The fan vote is what got you into the Hall of Fame. I was going to ask you about that. That must be extra special.
Yeah, but not only fans, also the committee and I don't know whoever is right to vote, except fans. So it's
I always wanted to...
How is that procedure going, which I'm not very familiar.
You're in. Don't worry about the particulars.
I mean,
don't
nobody
worry
can
about
kick
it.
Me out.
Exactly. don't worry about the details. Did I hear right? Did you warm up with Novak the weekend you won Wimbledon? You hit with him? Did I get that story right?
Not weekend before, but I was practicing in Nicky's academy, Pilić, who was my coach, and Novak was there, and Pilić told me he is one kid, 14 and a half years old, who is going to be the best tennis player in the world in the future. I said, okay, let's hit with him. He's from Serbia. This young, small, skinny kid comes.
Yeah, 2001, that would have been, yeah.
We play tennis, and a couple of years after, this young little kid is one of the best tennis players in the world, and who knows, maybe the best... ever in the history of tennis, I hope.
You think?
Everyone
plays this game.
For past 9 years, he is. By statistic, mm-hmm. by winning Grand Slams, by every winning matches, he is by far number one. What's going to happen when they finish all three the career, we will see. But it's always, you know... Maybe you like more Federer, maybe the other guy likes more Nadal.
We're neutral.
And everybody likes different styles, but they didn't say bye-bye yet. They're still going to have a couple of years of playing, and a lot of things is going to change. A lot of records are going to be broken, and hopefully Novak can do that.
Nice kid, age 14?
Very nice. I know that after he gave me the brought me the chocolate on the court because he thought I should not feel dizzy and have some energy.
He brought you chocolate?
He brought me chocolate.
I hope he pays you in something other than chocolate right now.
No. Doesn't matter. Yeah, for sure. But
nice kid, even as a
14-year-old. He was a nice kid. He was always different.
What do you mean?
But... I was following him after, you know, he was, as a kid, he was different, different thinking, the way his life developed, the way he is on the court, the way he is off the court, the way he's also, he's, national hero in his country, and we had the problems before, and, you know, it took me as a coach...
Croatian, Serbia, you mean. Yeah.
And, you know, but his way of thinking is completely, you know, he's free of that. He support, I was always a huge supporter of him before even I became his coach, because he was, for me, number one in the world, and he I always liked to watch him, support him, and to be honest, I was kind of a little surprised when I received this phone call.
To come be his coach.
Last year to join the team. Yeah, we had always good relation. We were friends, but still, you know, not because I'm a bad coach, but you know, he was number one, you know, so I didn't know why he wants to add some more people in the team.
Lower ball toss. No, you brought some changes to his game.
You see, it's always those people. They want to learn every day. Atmosphere, different perspective, different, you know, Marian is a great guy and the easiest person to work. We get along very good together. We know each other for 30 years. Actually, we play against each other 30
you
years.
You and Marian Vida.
Yeah.
But keep going with that. What don't people get about Novak? What don't people understand?
But they don't understand how simple he is, you know. Sometimes I don't like, okay, Federer is a favorite, crowd favorite. But still, you know, people, they have wrong perspective and they say he's trying too hard to be liked, which I don't...
You're talking about Novak now, or that Novak's trying too hard to be liked?
Yeah, that's what the people are.
Right. I
disagree with that. He's so simple. He believes in his food, what he's eating. He believes in his stretching. He believes in some things. I could never eat like he's eating. But he's very... And his way of talking, way of thinking, way of... And that's him. And, you know... Some people, they don't like him because of that, but that's wrong, you know. Because they cannot do the same thing, so let's not like him, which I think is wrong thinking. He's a very simple guy. For me, it's easier to understand because we speak the same language. Mm-hmm. It's the same mentality. There was one country before, and Balkan people are very funny. He likes to joke, he likes to have fun, he likes to make jokes to other people, and it's not, you know, he's never going to be Swiss, he's not going to be Spanish, he's a guy from Serbia, very simple, and a great tennis player. And
let me ask you about that. Somebody said to me once, you know, it's sort of this game that people that follow tennis and who's going to be the best ever, and why is Rafa so, you know, it's sort of the characteristics of the players, and somebody said... People understand Switzerland and it's skiing and chocolate and watches, and people understand Spain and it's bullfights and people go to Barcelona, and you say Serbia and a lot of people don't have a concept necessarily. And somebody gave me this theory and said maybe that's one reason that Novak has a harder time punching through than Roger Rafa, that people don't understand the Balkan culture. A, do you buy that? Does that make sense to you? And B, do you... I mean, what do you think of it?
No, maybe it's a possibility, but in the end of the day, who cares where you're from? I mean...
Especially in this sport, right?
In this sport, yeah, okay, market, Switzerland, you know, Spain, but he worked... as much or the same like all of them, doesn't matter where you're coming from, but people, they have generally, I think, when you say it's East Bloc, Balkan, they kind of look at you different. Doesn't matter if it's Serbia, it's also with this happening with Croatia, also happened all this, you know.
You felt that?
Yeah, I got that a lot of times, like Balkan, I say what? We stink, or we don't. We are not good enough, or we are kind of look at the success of people there. It's much higher because we, kind of in our minds that we have to show them all the time something that we are better. At least that we are like them, and they are not better than us. They're not even. We are same people. They live there. We live here. So. Probably some this all this Balkan they look at is in the different eyes, but I tell you he is very funny and different. Okay, he show his emotion on the court. Maybe people they don't like when he breaks the racket, but you have to break sometimes. You have to show the emotion. He shows the emotion more than Federer and Nadal, definitely. But
I
have to respect what the guy achieved and what kind of person he is. He's giving back to
with and his, the worst thing you can say about him is he rips a shirt or throws a racket. We're all doing okay.
Who cares? Yes, his charity gives back to the people who he's always playing with the kids. He's always there for somebody. So, but you cannot change the people. You cannot tell the guy, support Novak. I mean, the people are going to choose whoever
you like.
Yeah.
Let me ask you about you. I'll edit this out if it's embarrassing. Personal story. First time I think I ever covered an ATP event. Toronto, 1998. And they said, you've got to meet Ivan Isevich. You're going to love this guy. He's a crazy guy. I said, all right, well, that's cool. And then they came up to me and they said, sorry, he can't do it because he has a black eye. He has an injury, and he can't see out of his eye. He might need stitches. And I said, was it a bar fight? And they said, no, something happened in his doubles match. He may have run up against someone, but he can't talk to you now because he's getting stiff.
90 something.
What happened? I never found out what happened. Do you remember that?
What happened, very simple, what happened. Me and Filipus is playing doubles. I'm standing at the net. He missed the first serve. Ball comes to me, and I see the ball boy. So I wanted to hit him. I mean, what did you do? Hit the ball with the head and give it to the ball boy. But I didn't see Filipus is running and wanted to do the same thing. So he hit me with the forehead, and he broke, I had like 4 stitches here.
Because you and Filipus has knocked heads, both of you trying to head a tennis ball.
He knocked my head. And I said, where are you going, man? You are behind me. The ball is coming to me, and you're Australian. You know nothing about soccer. So why you... But he just knocked me. He was like, and I'm lying down seeing all these little birds. And the umpire asked me, can you continue to play? I say, are you crazy? What? So they took me in the locker room, stitched me. And
that's what I never found out.
Yeah,
since.
Yeah.
That's a great story. I never heard that one.
Yeah, I had a couple of stitches, but.
All right. Good story. I never knew that one. Let me ask you real quick. I was interested in something you said. I don't remember where I even read this, and I apologize to the person who got this, but I was really interested in what you were saying about tennis and data, because it seems as though lately tennis was very behind the times, and then all of a sudden everything is about data and positioning and momentum and algorithms. And it sounded like, from what I read, it sounds like you're maybe a little skeptical of data. Too much.
I have nothing to do against statistics. I even realize some things they have data when I played, and I picked some things why I did this. But in the end, if you think too much about statistics and you forgot what you have to do on the court, who cares what the other guy is going to do? I mean, he knows that you're watching data, he knows you watch statistics. They play each other 30, 40 times. I mean, and then you tell him something, statistically, he missed 10 returns yesterday. And then against him, he puts all, and then, you told me. Yeah. Fuck you, I told you. I didn't tell you, you know, I am the guy who likes to, you know.
Intuition, if you play on
okay,
heart.
Okay, not too much intuition, but in the matches, you have to just think about yourself. What things you have to do, what your opponent is going to do, nobody knows. Okay, statistically, last 5 matches, he served more here, served more there, but who knows, maybe he's going to change that against you, maybe not. So, too many things, too many information, too many. I like statistics, but this is getting too much.
Last question. You've had a lot of, I've seen this week especially, in part because of Novak, but in part because of this Hall of Fame announcement, you've been very much around the tennis scene. Where is the sport right now? I mean, where do you see things from a culture standpoint, from a locker room standpoint, from a playing standpoint? I mean, you've seen all different angles of this, and you're very much in the mix. Where is tennis in 2020?
I think tennis in 2020 is in a good position. You have these 3 guys. You have young guys coming up who are breeding but not ready yet. Okay, one of these 2 young guys is going to be in the final, which is good for tennis.
Talking team and Zverev.
Yeah. But I don't put team. Team is young, but team already played twice the Grand Slam final. Yeah. So I expect
he's closer to 30 than he is to 20.
Yeah, so he's not in that category, more Zverev than... I think tennis, after these 3 guys, in a great position. You have so many young guys, Tsitsipas, Shapovalov, Russians, Medvedev, so it's good. Australian Open breaking records every year, more and more people, kids, they like it, people, they like it. Okay, maybe 1-2 more records can be broken per match, more, little
entertainment. You're okay with a little more entertainment.
I am okay always with that. Tennis is good. Tennis is improving. It's aggressive. It's I like some guys how they play. So it's in my perspective looks good.
That's great.
Okay, change it. Every player traveling with the team. They are not friends like we were before, you know, talking in the locker room.
You know what I say about that, though? That means there's more money in the system and you can afford it. And when you were playing 20 years ago, you probably couldn't afford to have five guys. In a way, the teams is a sort of an offshoot of growth.
It is, but it was different. Different, but still, I think social media changed a lot perspective of the sport.
That's interesting. How's that?
Now they all, they posting it, for the fans, every minute, where is Novak, where is Roger, where is Rafa, you can't hide anymore, it's like Big Brother is following you from the air, so it's fans are controlling, like how many fans you have, how many people is following you, how many is there, but, it's a huge money. The prize money went, which is good for the players. They can afford all the team, which I like it. I think there should be even more for this first round. So this lower ranked player, they can afford the coach. They can afford to travel more.
Right.
But overall, I think it's tennis is in a good position.
So it's great. You would have been great, especially in your playing days, in social media. Can I just say that?
Yeah, why not? Thanks.
I'll be following you on Twitter. Congrats. That was a great conversation.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks to our guest, Goran Ivanisevic. Nice for him to spend some time, especially during this busy week. That was a fun conversation. A lot in there and some insight into Novak Djokovic as well. Nice bonus. We will have another podcast next week. Thanks for listening. Enjoy the final weekends, everyone. You can subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever fine podcasts are sold. Feel free to leave a review. Feel free to continue to pepper us with guest suggestions. They're always appreciated. I'm John Wertheim. I'll be back in New York next week, and we'll do another one in 7 days. Take care.